Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
And this is Ellis.
We're back with another episode of our podcast, a conversation about love, life, and relationships. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. Fabulous post-election jubilance, excitement. It's good to be alive. Just another day that the Lord has blessed me, as the old folk will say. He has blessed me. I'm sorry, he has kept me. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. He has kept me from all evil.
I'm glad you said old folks. It gives me a chance to shout out to our producer, Big P. By the time this airs, it'll be his birthday.
What? So
happy birthday, old folks.
Hey, happy birthday, big brother. The good brother.
So, thank you for listening. We're still getting a lot of love on our What Men Want show.
Yes.
And so we got women that want to do a What Women Want show. Some of you putting out the call for women. We had one lady on your page, friend of yours, Shauna Moore.
Shauna
going to be a part of the conversation.
I'm just going to be quiet if you and Shauna Moore are on together.
Yeah, we're going to be on telling you.
Because y'all are very much alike.
We might need a three-parter because we got stuff to say.
I told Shauna, we already know what women want. They want it their way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, and what the problem is.
Yeah, what's wrong?
What's wrong with that?
So today we're talking about love versus lust.
Yes. Yes.
Love versus lust. Coming from the context. I'm just messing with
what,
you.
What? So what, is it love like lust?
Okay, we could say love like lust or like love lust.
Something like that. But anyway, yes, yes.
So I was given an assignment that I haven't completed. So on this show, I have said often that I don't have check boxes. So I was given an assignment to identify some check boxes, right? So I'm still working on it and I'm gonna get to it. So, but one thing, so I was looking through or kind of going through my mind of men who I have dated or men who are currently in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to see, like, what's the good things about them to try and come up with it. One thing, they are all somewhat eye candy. So, do I lust first? Does lust come first?
Well.
And is it, I mean, I know they don't have to be together.
So I looked up a definition before
of what?
Of lust.
All right.
So lust is a very strong sexual desire. As a noun, having a very strong sexual desire for a person, for someone. Mm-hmm. So lust is completely physical, sexual, right? And I was thinking of in terms of us being sapiosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if we are sapiosexuals, does the lust supersede our attractiveness for intellect?
So, I think initially, maybe the lust opens the door, and then you find out that they're intelligent enough to arouse this sapiosexualism.
Lism.
Yeah, in us, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. So, is the physical attraction a part of the lust, or is the lust, because lust, you know, according to this definition, is sexual, but is the physical attraction sexual?
Is the sometimes, yeah.
Okay, because I'm thinking like.
Because, I got to be thinking about who you look like with them clothes off. can I go through with this? You know, I mean. I'm just being real. Y'all know me.
Well, it's going back to use your phrase, eye candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone looks attractive, I know for me, there's certain women that I find very attractive, mm-hmm. right? Like Taraji Henson.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's very attractive.
Okay.
And it's not that from a sexual standpoint. I like her disposition. I like her features. I like how she talks. I don't like the fact you wear weave, but I mean,
it's a job hazard.
It's a job, right?
Do that.
but I like the role that she played in all of the movies. And so as I was thinking about this love lust conversation, I'm like, my attractiveness to her is not based off of some sexual desire. I just think she's a beautiful woman, right? Mm-hmm. I think she's gorgeous.
But if she come over here and be like, hey, boo, you gonna say, nah, get away from me. Go on, Taraji. Go on, girl.
Go on, sit down somewhere, girl. Go on, sit down. You know, I just think that, again, we don't have this kind of conversation. And so if I could, I had a conversation with someone last night about this topic. And she was telling me that she's only attracting men who want to have sex with her.
Okay.
And so I point out on her post that she's always, you know, dancing or twerking. And she's like, well, I'm just having fun. I said, I get it. But and you having fun, you're putting this out in the universe. And now you're attracting only men
that
want to have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and you keep saying that, you know, what am I doing differently? I said, so why not let it be known that you're not just wanting to have fun, that you want more, you want to be a wife. Mm-hmm. So if you put that out there, maybe you'll start attracting something different. But she was like, you know, I never thought of it that way, because she couldn't understand why these men are just hitting her up, you know, making these sexual comments about, you know, how she looks. So she's like, I've never even seen him. I've never even met him before. And they come into my inbox making, you know, sexual explicit comments.
And, you know, it's, I joke a lot, but it's true. Like, I'm on Facebook a lot. And I don't have high traffic in my inbox.
Mm.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay. And I asked Johnny. I was like, am I mean? You know, what is it? He's like, yeah, you mean, but dang why. Right, but it is true. It's like we put on a persona out throughout social media, and people think that's who we are and that's what we want.
Right.
So my social media pictures are usually pretty reserved. Right. You know, it's just me smiling. You know, I ain't showing nothing. You know, I'm not doing anything. And so I think I do agree with what you told her in terms of what she's putting out. That's what she's getting back.
Right.
You know, we can manifest so many things, positive as well as negative.
Yes.
You know, when I was backing into my assignment to come up with my check boxes, I was talking with the person who asked me to do this. And I was saying, well, this is what I don't want. I don't want this. I don't want that. And so she was like, okay, you're going to put that in the universe and you're going to get that, but you're going to get a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want?
Right,
you know, so we do have to come up with the things that we want, and we manifest those things to get to the love part of this. And hopefully he's still acting, because I do like that.
Well, I think first of all, your exercise is wonderful, because it helps us to hone in on what we want, because I don't think we really know what we want. And so what I did, I've always done, I've wrote out, this is the sort of woman that I desire. So if someone is popping up, as I told the person last night, if you're attracting them, once you write out what you desire, what you want, anybody that doesn't fit this description, you can easily eliminate them. And so what I've been doing, I wrote out what I need in a relationship and the characteristics. It wasn't based on the physical. It was just based on some characteristics. And when anything opposite that appears, I realized, hey, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I'm asking God for. So therefore, I can reject this. I don't have to even entertain it. And I just think sometimes we feel obligated to entertain someone's overture or interest in us, and we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
We don't have to settle.
I think, yeah, I'm guilty of that. You know, when
and I think women do that more than men.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right.
And so, you know, I'll entertain the conversation until it gets to a point where I know that, all right, just got to stop right here. You know, and then I know I carried the conversation too long. You know, I had to be mindful. So being an entrepreneur, you know, you know this as well as I do, we don't have a 9-to-5 clock. Whenever that call comes in, we got to take it. It don't fit neatly into a box, right? And so I have been guilty, and I had to stop of what time I answer the phone for certain people. Like, if I'm working on writing a proposal for somebody, and as oftentimes, we're still working on it the night before it's due. So, you know, we waiting on each other for information until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. So that's different. But sometimes I've had people call me at 11 o'clock with, you know, it's the facade that this is business. But then, you know, business lasts about 7 minutes. And then they still talking 30 minutes later because they're trying to make it personal.
Right.
And so when I look at my phone like we all do, and I was like, all right, whatever it is he want, that's a 9 to 5 call.
Right.
I call you tomorrow at 9.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not answering at night. And so, you know where I'm going with that. I lost my train of thought real quick, but it'll come back.
Well, if I can, you know, put a footnote on that. I think women do that more than men. Mm. I think women feel a need to, in essence, be respectful and not hurt a brother, you know, because he's coming sideways in your inbox, even, you know, approaching you sideways. I was at a stoplight yesterday and a lady walked in front of me and the brother at the car, classic line, yo, sister, yo. Yo, let me get your number. She keeps walking. Yo, I know you hear me calling you. Well, forget you then. You ain't all that.
Right. And see, and I think some of us are fearful of that.
Right.
We don't want that reaction that sometimes men put out.
Right, right.
And so we just kind of say, hey, we good. You know, just trying to hurry and pump your gas so you can get back in your car and be going, please don't walk up here and ask him a number.
Man, it was broad daylight. And I wanted to say, like, bro, just because she ain't, you know, respond to your overture, if she wasn't all that, why would you try to holler at her?
Right.
I mean, you, this is Broad Street. And she walking up, yo, sister.
So that's their ego.
That's their ego.
His ego got
And that's
crushed.
That lust. See, I think that ego is a byproduct of the lust. He was lusting after her. Because she had a mask on. I mean, she had on, you know, tights and a shirt.
Okay.
She had on tennis shoes and a book bag.
Okay.
He really couldn't see her face.
So he was lusting.
And then that ego comes out. He's trying to holler in a proper way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so many ways he could have did that. Plus, we ain't been doing a pandemic. You ain't got no mask on. You screaming and yelling. Come on now.
Why wouldn't she want that?
I mean, and I don't mean no harm. He wasn't much taller than her. And she walked by him. So if she was interested, she may have paused. But dude, y'all about the same height.
And a lot of times we don't like that. Okay, not me. Okay? Not me.
You gonna date a man 5 foot?
No. No.
But okay, so use this scenario as an example. And goes back. So if she was afraid, she had every right to be, how could she have diffused? Because his ego had already rose up as a result of him lusting after her behind.
Right.
Right? Because when she walked across the street, first thing I saw him. I didn't really see her, but I saw him. And he, so I got my window down. So how is a woman supposed to respond to that in a respectful way?
You know, and we shouldn't have to respond. Number one, we shouldn't have to.
At all, ever.
Right. But, you know, because of the fear sometimes we do. Like, I'm usually polite. And I'm like, hey, bro, you know, and I keep walking. And if he approached me, I've made up lies. You know what? I got a boyfriend. I got a husband.
Right,
you know,
right.
No, I can't give you my number or whatever.
Right.
I've done that because of the reaction to avoid that.
So what's wrong with the lady saying, hey, bro, thank you very much, but I'm not interested.
It's nothing wrong with it, and we should be able to say that. But sometimes brothers are aggressive. They are aggressive, and they come.
Brothers are very aggressive.
Yeah, and so, you know, we just try to avoid. Like, I never stop walking. I walk from here to the market, which is 2 blocks away from my house.
They whistling. You getting cat calls.
It's getting stupid. So, you know.
Cat calls over
there. So the funniest day, I was walking. And this brother was on the other side of the street, cutting grass. And so he was like, hey, he's like, hold on a minute. He's about to get hit by a car trying to come over there. So I'm like, so I ain't never stopped walking. He just walked, caught up with me. And He said, you know y'all college girls need stuff at this time of the year. So I was flattered that I was a college girl. Clearly you ain't see all this platinum growing out of my scalp.
The platinum right. coming out of the locks.
college girl. And I was like, ain't no college girl. You know, and so he was kind of like, okay, this is, let's say, a Thursday. He said, well, here's my number. He had a little homemade flyer, his cart, his grass cutting business. Uh-huh. He said, give me a call on Tuesday because my phone will be back on then. I want to take you out.
Well, at least he's being honest.
He said, my phone will be back on Tuesday. I said, so Calvin, go back over there and cut that grass.
get that phone back on.
Yeah,
get that phone back on.
You need to get this phone on. You know, and so that was one of those things that I'm like, I'm going to keep walking, but I know I could see my house from where we were, so he could see where I live too, but I didn't want to be me.
Right.
You know.
I had a lady who I showed some interest to. I love the way she, I wouldn't say it was rejection. She said, hey, bro, I really appreciate it. I'm flattered and honored. But at the moment, I'm entertaining, you know, the same response to someone else. So you know, he beat you to it. But thank you very much. But if things don't work out, I will reconsider your overture. And I was like, whoa. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel rejected, but I so appreciated how she responded.
All right.
And I thought, now that's a lady. Because she was, I thought it was very kind, very respectful. And I mean, whether she was attracted to me or not, she just said, hey, you know, I'm entertaining someone else's old job. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'm humble. I'm flattered.
That was so sweet.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, very, very much so.
So if I yell back across the street to Cal, it's like, leave me alone, boy. Ain't nobody talking to you. Keep cutting that grass.
Tell Cal.
That's what I was thinking.
Calvin, hey, so you know I got some grass need to be cut. Right? You come and cut this grass?
You know. But see, he forgot all about me because like a month later, he rang the doorbell. And he said he was, you know, I didn't open the door, my son did, but I saw him, so I knew who it was. And he said, just wondering if y'all need y'all grass cut. And he saw me, he didn't say anything.
Yeah,
I ain't looked that good as I did walking down my street over here.
He wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that, you know, just going forward, you know, we have to, I won't say we. I'll say men have to do a better job of approaching someone. And if lust is the reason why you find them attractive, then you can't let them know. Because I don't know any woman who wants that lustful kind of, you know, creepy dude who's only making comments on their physical and not talking about, like, I was talking to a young lady last night. She was like, I don't know why, you know, I can only attract men who only want sex. And so I said, so what are they saying? She's like, they're always making comments about my body parts. I said, so she's like, well, they're not making comments about, you know, my intellect. I said, because on those videos you're putting up
there, you don't look like you got,
you know, they don't see your smart, intellect. Right? They don't see how passionate you are about, you know, about the kings and queens and how you want the universe to, you know, just to move on behalf of our people. They don't see all that. All they see you twerking, dancing, jumping around, smiling, laughing, showing off your fist. I mean, so that's what you are attracting. So is he wrong for coming at you? Because that's all he sees. So how can she show her intellect? I don't know.
Do a math problem.
You do a math problem. One plus one.
But you know, so can lust lead to love?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. And I think also you can actually love somebody, right? And then you can still lust after them once you get to the love stage. So if, you know, as you and I say, sapiosexual is a part of that, we're attracted to intelligence. And so you may let some things slide because, you know, hey, I like how you think.
Right.
Right. But then eventually you'd say, oh, I'm really attracted to you. Mm-hmm. Other things start to come up and you find it more valuable than just having just a shell of somebody who just looks good.
Yeah.
I had that once. She just looked the part. But when she opened her mouth, she was dumb as a box of rocks.
It goes that safety of sexualism. So we need to take a break. We'll be right back with Love Wins with Allison Benito.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music, the intersection of music and culture. And we're back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. So in the breaks, you know, we have some good talk. So we were just talking about the things that are lustful. So like initially, we always think about the physical attributes about mm-hmm. people that are lustful. But there are some qualities that we lust after. And these are like some good qualities. So it's like this under this category, I should say, is like, when lust is not a bad word, because we make lust a bad word. So one of the things we were talking about, I was telling my brother Ellis about this person that I met. And this is like still going through my process of creating my checklist. And so physically, you know, he was a little bigger, you know, than I like. And like I joked before that I ain't doing sickness and health, but I'm for real. I'm doing health and health. And so, you know, it's like, okay, this would be something that we have to work on, you know, quickly, because this could be a health problem. And then as he talked, you know, he talked about some financial challenges that he's having, and I understand that. And then he was saying, you know, he lived with his mama. And so, you know, I added a box that you gotta have your own place. You can't, because I felt like, you know, okay, if we did, you know, we were okay soon and things worked out, he gonna want to live with me, and that's not what's happening. Y'all heard me say I could be married and we could live separately,
right?
So coming to live with me is not an option. That's what I saw. That's what I immediately felt when he said he lived with his mama now.
So With that being said, are you not attracted to a man who doesn't have his own?
No. Okay. Having your own is a very sexy feature. I lust after that feature.
I lust after independence.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Like this is, I can be really, really petty. Like, I can be really petty. You know, I had told somebody, you know, like, I wouldn't date somebody who lived in an apartment. Now, I know that's petty, right? I know that's petty. Yeah, but once I explain my reasons why,
I want to hear it.
You know, they understood.
Give me a short version.
You know, well, you know, I'm claustrophobic.
Okay.
So I have these reminders of having walked through apartment buildings, and you know, and just, and then it doesn't make any sense, but it's. Doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't make any sense, but it's, for me, it is a safety.
Okay.
Like, I don't like being in small quarters.
Okay.
I don't like having to pull up in a huge parking lot in an apartment building. And, you know, it's just safety. It's just safety. It's just issues. It's my anxiety. I'm claustrophobic. And so I'm not attracted to that.
Okay.
And so what the person says, so what if you was really cared about the person? Would you be willing to work through that? And I said, I would, but it would be very difficult for me to work through that.
Okay. So what if this person, I'm going to create a scenario. This mm-hmm. person owns a house mm-hmm. and it's a big house and she doesn't need that much space. So that house is being rented out.
Right.
So she just rents an apartment.
Right.
And she is looking for maintenance-free living.
Right.
Can you, is that okay?
I've been in that situation before.
Okay.
But we always had to go, you know,
to your house,
you know, to certain places, and I didn't really enjoy that.
Okay.
I mean, one time I went to go see this person, and there were no parking spaces, okay. right? She only get two spaces.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. and so I could not find a place to park. So I had to park down the street.
Okay.
Right? Because, you know, they towed where she lived.
Sure.
So I walked about a good two blocks.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, this is the last time I'm coming over here. Because every time I come over here, there ain't nowhere to park.
But that could be a real easy, that could happen mm-mm, in my community.
No. So I went into the house, and of course I said that to her. Immediately an argument ensued, right?
Because I'm telling you walk right now. I ain't coming over here no more. Said, with your whole 6'4 behind.
Tired. It was cold. And she was like, I think you overreact. I said, you don't understand. I said, I had to walk almost 2.5 blocks. It was pitch dark. Mm-hmm. And I told you
okay,
I was
listen,
coming over.
The next time he tell this story, it's going to be 6 feet
right,
of snow.
Right.
He could walk 5 blocks.
But the issue was, she allowed her neighbor to use her space.
Okay.
But if that be the case, you told me I could use the space. Why would you tell me that somebody else took the space? And I'm texting you, you're not answering the phone, and I'm still walking. So by the time I get there, I'm banging on the door all hard. And so that's how I said to myself, I ain't dating nobody else who lives in
Orlando. I cannot believe King Petty.
King Petty. But I was trying to explain to her. And so,
but at least she don't live with her mama in the apartment.
I know. So about a year or so later, she told me that she had moved. I saw her. I'm like, hey, you still in there? She's like, nah, I moved. She said, you know what? And I want to apologize so I completely understand. Because, you know, I'm seeing somebody right now, and that's their biggest gripe. I said, I was trying to tell you, but you got to walk through some stuff to get to her spot.
Okay.
I'm like, I got to walk through the brothers, you know, what's up, bro?
Uh-huh.
And I got put on.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to go through all that.
Okay.
She's like, well, I completely understand. I said, you know, I appreciate you coming back and apologizing. I said, but all you had to do that night was apologize for not letting me know that somebody was parked in the space. I said, because apology is attractive to me.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to apologize for that you did that, to me, that's, I'm attracted to that. And I can see some progress. But if you're going to defend your position and can't see where I'm coming from, it's not attractive. So, nevertheless, her and I didn't run together. But we cool.
Yeah, cool. Because she did come back. And sometimes you can't see the thing that you should apologize for in the present. You have to step away from it.
But it took a whole year. So we just.
But she just didn't run into you. Maybe she should have called you.
She could have called. She could have texted anything.
All right.
You know. And if I hadn't said, hey, you still live in that spot?
Are you still mad, King Daddy?
I share that because so many things could be diffused just by hearing. So, prime example, if I'm only there for one thing, then that situation would not have been a big deal. Because I'm going to get in, I'm going to get out, right? But because I really liked the person at the time, I want her to understand the inconvenience of me not only having to walk 2 blocks through the pitch dark, walking through about 4 groups of brothers.
Told y'all it's snowing.
You know what I'm saying?
Snowing.
on the south side, by the way. You know what I'm saying?
So sorry.
You know? So I was just trying to get her to understand that. So when you transition from the lust to love, I think that there's an element of patience, there's an element of understanding, and there's really an element of, I can say, you know, clear communication.
Yeah, and it's about getting to know. You know, it's like when you can lust, you know, and that's where, you know, I'm saying about my eye candy. But that getting to know, it can go from love to light to not at all.
Yeah.
You know, so it can change. And it could, like, even the person that is, like, the guy I just described.
Right.
And I gave you more details, and I don't want people to really know how petty I can be.
Right. Oh, no, she's worse than me. She's worse than me.
You know, even getting to know him, you know, maybe at some point it would turn to I could get past.
Right.
I can't really, but I'm just playing for the sake of radio show. But, you know, I could turn to love and I could get past some of the things that I saw that.
Yeah. It's funny. My man was in the gym on Monday, and there's this particular female in the gym that he said, you know, was very attractive. I said, you know, in the gym, it's a lustful environment anyway. And so I said, I'm like, yo, man, she's shallow. How you know she's shallow? You're always labeling somebody. Case in point, he had a conversation with her. He comes and, man, yeah, you was right, man. She's shallow, man. Matter of fact, she's dumb. I said, what made you think that? he said, well, how'd you know? I said, dude, I can tell by how she was dressed and how she just in her conversation with other people. I said, if you look at her, she's scantily dressed. So I'm not saying she's not intelligent.
Isn't everybody scantily dressed? Everybody, in the gym?
But hers is over the top. Over the top. So of course he was digging and liking it. So he goes in for his shot. And he's like, yeah, I was asking for a number. And she was like, what is my phone number? She couldn't remember the number. So I was like, yeah, I told you she didn't look too bright, you know? So I said, so maybe she was faking. He's like, nah, dog, nah, trust me. She could not remember her number. I said, yeah, that's a sign.
But maybe she just ain't want to give you the number.
That's why I said to him, like, nah, dog, there's some other signs, too, that she's sallow and she kind of slow. I said, no. I said, I don't think she's the slow one. Matter of fact, I think you're the slow one. Slow attracts slow. Shallow attracts shallow.
That ain't right.
I mean, I don't think she's a slow. No, you are. Because you're always attracted to women who are shallow, and then you get mad at them. No, dude, you're the shallow one. You're the slow one. Don't put it on them. You're attracted what you attract. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You always got a story about, yeah, I thought she was going to be. Mm-mm, no, dude, you're the problem. Yeah. You're the problem. Because we attract what we are? Or is that not true?
Do we attract what we are?
We attract what we are?
I think.
Or do we track what we really want? How about that?
We got to know what we want first. We already said that. Right. If we don't know what we want, we can't attract it. Because we won't even look for it. But I think we do attract who we are. A lot of times.
So I think the danger of the whole lust is that you don't know if, like I saw the show, this woman attracted a man who she thought was the ideal type and he was beating her tail. And then, you know, the character, I can't think of the name of the movie, it was one of his Lifetime movies. He wound up killing her. And then when they did a search on him, he always attracted, you know, women thought he was very handsome, he was very abusive, verbally and physically abusive. So here is, you know, you're attracting someone because they look the part.
Yeah.
But you don't know what they possess.
Right. And so even when the lust turns to love, what are we in love with?
Right, right.
You know, if
right.
the lust is the physical
right.
and you just fall, you say, oh, I'm in love, but you stay in love with the physical. Sometimes shapes change.
Shapes, you know, sometimes shapes always
so
change.
So when shapes change, yeah. you know, we can't love. Yeah. We no longer love this person.
You know, so I'm a friend of mine, they just celebrated their 30-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. So during this past week, you have the 5 look challenges on Facebook. So they did it with their anniversary.
Okay.
When I say when they got married, they were very small, but the way they look right now,
they ain't gonna beat you. They listen to the show.
They big, right? They real big.
Okay. But so the shape changed.
The shape did change, but okay. their love did not change.
Right.
The same way they was. You know, 30 years ago,
so they both changed.
They both changed.
Okay, because what if, and this probably happens to women more than men. You know, we get together and we all, everybody in great shape. And we have babies or two or three. And then
I think it happens to men more than it happens to women.
I don't know, but we don't snap back. And, you know, we may not snap back as quickly right. or at all.
Right.
You know, and then he ain't attracted to us no more.
Yeah, what's your point? And what's your point?
Where is the love? Where is the love? Well, we walk around here, we nursing babies. With a breast hanging out like slaves.
Right. like concubines, right?
Yeah, concubines. Baby. Where's the love? That ain't sexy.
I think it has to be a conversation, communication, you know? I said to my son, and I said, you have to date somebody, you know, with the thought and understanding that who they are at 20, 25 ain't going to be who they are at 45.
So I got this friend. He has a picture. He's stupid. Of his mother-in-law and her sister, like back in the day. Well, it was back in the day, but it's still they were well into adulthood in their 50s in this picture. And he said he kept that picture because that was his like promise of what his wife would look like. And so the mother was very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, is that what y'all do? You look at your mom, look at the mothers?
Well, I had an old head tell me, and I have passed this along to other men. He said, you do not commit to a woman until you see her mother, her sisters, and her grandmother. Once you see them, then you know what you have, what you have to look forward to.
Is that what y'all do?
Well, I'm not saying that's y'all. I'm just saying that an old head told me that, and I did not understand. I understand it now, because obviously I don't look the way I look, you know, 30 years ago. But the bigger question is, we don't value health, and we don't value exercise and eating healthy and drinking water. That's really what it boils down to.
So a man should not be offended if I see him and he talking to me and I say, you handsome. Where your daddy at? Is that offensive?
I had a friend of mine say she was trying to date somebody's granddaddy.
Yeah, is that offensive?
No, not at all.
Let's start at because the top.
I'm somebody's granddaddy. You know, I got a grandson.
Oh, yeah. You do.
Hey.
We want one of them silver foxes that be on them Instagram pictures. That's what we want.
Mm-hmm. With the ashy elbows and rough hands.
And
got the matching shoes, pants, belt, sweater, you know, hat, scarf, gloves, you know.
Right.
You know. I will never be that dude. Never, ever.
That's what we want.
Ever. I would never, ever be that dude. But they smooth. They smooth.
Yeah.
Like.
And then they, you know, if a lot of them still embrace those old gentlemen qualities.
Yes.
They treat us good. They gonna open the doors.
I think women demanded that back then. I don't think women are demanding that men treat them, you know, with respect, but you know, and just chivalry and just be more. I don't know what I'm looking for. I didn't say chivalry.
You said chivalry. What it is.
Yeah, it's just you gotta demand that.
But where does it come from though? Like with me, like my dad, I didn't grow up with my dad opening doors for me. I mean, he may have done that for the women, but he ain't do it for me. And so I'm so quick to jump out of a car, you know. And so I have to like, I gotta sit right here. Don't move.
Well, now I don't think it's fair that he has to come and open the door for you to get out. I do think it's fair that he should open the door for you to get in. That's just me.
Yeah. We going over his mama's house. I ain't opening the door to get out.
Well,
if he don't let me out, I'm staying in the car.
A lot of females don't value that. They don't care about that. I was trying to tell my daughter that. She's like, Dad, I can open my own door. I'm like, you're missing the point.
Right.
Because men can be easily trained. Men can be, I don't say manipulated, but they can be easily trained and shown how you want to be treated. But you have to stick to that and not settle. Because if you do that, he's going to appreciate you more. And eventually, right, he may be shaped, molded until you want him into something you possibly, you know, take home to mom.
So that's definitely another show topic, because we do need to talk about that change. Because
right.
A lot of times we use the old adage, you can't teach a dog new tricks.
Oh, yes, you can.
You can. Because if you want to change and make adjustments for this person, you absolutely will.
Women have all the power. I don't understand why women don't realize that they have all the power. All power.
Say it again.
All power.
Right.
All power. Right. Sorry, I'm in the Baptist church. All
yes,
power.
We got that.
Women have all the power. So why compromise on the power that you have? It's like you said, that the guy stopped cutting grass to come across the street, almost got hit because he is trying. He's trying to chase down the power. Right? Mm-hmm. You ain't out there waiting for him.
Right.
He's chasing behind you.
Yeah, because I kept walking.
Right. Mm-hmm. So most men, as I said earlier, you know, the brother who came across the street trying to holler at the sister, she got the power. Mm-hmm. So why are women compromising their power? I don't understand.
Because sometimes we feel that we are chasing a clock. And this clock that we're chasing is we want to be with somebody by a certain time in our lives. And we want to have 3.1 kids by a certain time of our lives. And so sometimes when we do that, we give up the power and we settle.
Yeah, I don't think we should be doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
And Miss Earlene in the gym, she's about 78.
Okay.
Miss Earlene drives a two-door Lexus coupe, right? The top down, a convertible.
Okay.
Miss Earlene come in that gym, she knows she looking good.
Okay.
And those older men flock to her. So one day I had a conversation with Earl. I said, Miss Earlene, I said, how old are you? She was like, baby, I'm 7-8 years old and I still got it. And I said, how'd you keep it? She says, I learned a long time ago that I got the power. I said, so who taught you that? She was like, my mama taught me that. She said, but these girls these days, they don't know. Yeah. So at 78, when she come in the gym, those older men come over to her, talk to her, give a little hug. She tell one of the older men, back up now, you know, wait your turn.
All right.
But she says she was taught that she has the power. The men are going to come to her, and she can choose how to pick up the litter.
And see, we're not learning that. When my daughter went to high school, she went to an all-girls Catholic school. And I used to always say to her and to the administrators and other people in power that wanted to do, like, joint events with the boys' school. And I was like, why? You know, we pay money for this single-sex education, right. And it wasn't cheap.
Right.
And, you know, with a lot of the joint activities that the school historically had in place, the girls were always very subservient to the boys, whereas the girls' curriculum, you're forcing them to take, what's the impossible math? Science, physics.
Mm-hmm.
They take physics as freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you want, you know, you're building these academically, these girls who are academically advanced, right? But you're training them to be Stepford wives for these boys. You know, so it's like, why are we doing this? You know, we're not, you know. So we do train them. We train these girls to grow up and snag your men.
But, you know, don't look at cultures. So in the African-American culture, that I think that's taking place. Now, in the European white culture, yeah. They could be physics or whatever. Once they get married, they're going to be stay-at-home wives.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What they call them, the pool wives or something?
Soccer moms or something?
They used the term last night as I was watching election results. They call them like the pool moms or something like that. But these are educated European women who don't do anything now.
Yeah. All they do is take care of their children, mm-hmm. and then they take care of their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be physics teachers, math teachers, or whatever else. But I don't think that's taking place in Black communities.
So you don't think, as Black women, we're still teaching our girls, go out here and find this man, girl?
I think the greatest dissatisfaction I have in our community is that Black women are not teaching younger girls how to maintain their power, because most of them don't understand they have power.
Right. I won't disagree with that.
And so with that being said, you find mom and daughter competing for the same attention from dad. But when you understand what you possess, as I was saying to your young sister last night, that you have all the power, you don't have to settle for some guy.
I think the dad needs to teach it too, because the dad really needs to teach that the woman has the power.
Most dads don't know. Who teaches the male and the female?
The mamas.
The mamas. So when the mama is teaching the male, dad has to reinforce what the mama is teaching. But dad is not innate to dad, I don't believe. I believe it's innate to mom. And so if mom is teaching that, dad can come in and reinforce it. But I don't think dad can innately teach that or just know. I know I didn't know. Mm. I'll say that. I knew based off of kind of daughters I wanted to have. So I've been very affirming. But with that being said, it wasn't something that, you know, I knew to do.
Okay.
But I think women have started teaching that.
We do.
Or etiquette classes.
Yeah, we've gotten away from
it. Yeah.
I do agree. So listen, we need to take a break and we're going to come right back with Love Wins with Ellison Demeek. Love Wins with Ellison Benita. You just heard from the king of soul R&B, the silky smooth Al Green with I'm Glad You're Man.
Hi, Grits Green.
Hey, never on no high grit.
You got them high grit stone on them.
I know. Well, as I said before, she should have put just boil some water with grease in it.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Last longer.
And that's diabolical. And
mm-hmm, he ain't wasting no grits.
Mm.
So since we have started, you've been working on something.
And yes.
Finally, you've given birth to a new baby.
Yes, I have.
Tell us about your new baby.
The book is titled "Won't God Do It?" He would do it just like that. Well, God would do it just like that. And I was watching Dion Cole last year. And he had a white gentleman stand up. He said, black folk are always making up stands. And he kept saying, won't he do it? You know, and so when he did it, I was laughing, but I began thinking like, wow, we do make up stands. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I was writing a book and the rest is history. So it's really just a conversation about, I think we forget how powerful God is. Mm-hmm. I think we forget that God will and can do anything. We just have to be prepared in the right place for it to happen. And so the book kind of speaks to my spiritual journey of outgrowing some of the religious phrases and behaviors that I had learned and step into a whole spiritual platform of believing that God is bigger than just a saint.
Okay.
So that's...
So how do our listeners get your book?
You can get it off Amazon. You can get it off Barnes & Noble. Ex Libris is a publisher that I utilize. I will not be utilizing them again, by the way, because there were some typos in the book that they didn't change.
Wow.
So I got to catch it on the second edition. But you can, people have been ordering from Amazon. I'm looking to get a website up as well. But it's been a nice journey. I'm enjoying the feedback. And some people have been inspired and encouraged by it already. So, That's that.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a big deal. I'm working on doing something, but you know how to go. I'm working.
It's a process.
It's a process.
It took me 20 years.
Yeah. So I host a show called Books and Bottles on NDTV, INDE.TV, which is a online outfit out of Chicago. And so I hope to have you on the show.
No, just let me know when.
So we can talk about your book and people can see your face.
Whoa.
Well, it's a whole visual show.
It's a visual show.
Yeah.
You know, Zoom.
You got to wear a shirt.
I got to wear a shirt. That may be problematic because I don't like wearing clothes.
So you mentioned a process. So this book that I'm reading now is called Learning Happens Through Conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about that all the time. We talk about communication, and that's so important. But one of the things, well, there's a sayings in his book called Wizisms, and because the brother's last name is Wiz. And so one of them, it says, you need a picture of a process to help you maximize what you already have.
Mm.
And so you talked about there's a process to doing anything, including this book. There's a process for moving from lust to love.
Yes.
And a key to that is the communication.
Yes.
And honest communication.
Yes.
And as we talk about total transparency.
Yes.
Just being unencumbered by who you are and just being comfortable with just displaying that person.
You know, I think another key element of the process is just maturation. Being able to see that you need to mature or to evolve or to grow, and you want some things differently. And then when you get to the other side, you can really see how immature you was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, conversation you and I had last week really left me thinking about, hey, I need to mature in this area. I need to not hold on to some things of the past.
Mm-hmm.
I need to evolve and let the process, you know, go the way it's supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm. Trust the process.
Yes, trust the process. Guys, trust the process all the time.
So, ladies, I'm going to be calling on y'all. I'm putting stuff out on our Facebook page about Ellis's book with the link to the Amazon so you can get it. I'm calling on y'all to hit me up so you can be a part of an upcoming show that we're going to do, What Women Want. Ellis is over here. He don't want to hear it, but he going to hear it. He going to sit here and listen like I listen to men.
I'm going to listen, and I'm going to just be quiet.
What?
Yes, I'm going to chime in. If Benita Johnson and Shauna Moore, whoo.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Maybe we just started out with us, too. We do a whole series, but we'll get it together.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll be hitting you up, or hit us up on our Facebook page at Love Wins with Ellis or Benita, on either of our personal pages. And also you can email us at lovewinswithellisandbenita@gmail.com. I want to thank Black Talk Radio Network and Scotty Reed for having us. I want to thank you, our listeners, for listening and sharing. Encourage you to continue to give us feedback because we want to get better. And thank you, Big P, for doing a bang up job at being a wonderful producer. So until next week. Y'all be safe and take care.
Yes. Peace and blessing, family.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. #LoveWins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at lovewinswithellisandbenita@gmail.com.